We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us right now, a guy whose record is 0-2 since he's returned to the Nets broadcast booth after he did a lot of tournament action and missed basically the entire West Coast trip. That's okay. And that, of course, is the great Eagle. Ian,
how are you, man?
Yeah, the dedication of our relationship is never more apparent than right now. I'm going to miss the final 15 minutes of Kathy Lee Gifford on television.
Wow.
Ever.
Ian.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Who's better than you?
Well, can
you
know I that? Show you the dedication?
Well, hold a copy.
Oh, it is better. Can I show the dedication we have for you?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, you inspired us because on the broadcast the other night, you revealed a very revealing truth
about
you. Oh,
how about this? I didn't know this.
That as a kid, Ian was a wrestler, and his name was the Iron Sheik. And because of that,
wow.
And it almost caused a breakup between me and Dove, we present to you this special introduction.
Wow.
Chalmers swings it. James, a three. No good. Rebound. Bosch has got it. Clears. Allen's fired. Oh, Ray Allen. He drills it. We are tied at 95.
Bryant the drive.
Oh, Kobe Bryant on a work attack.
The curl.
Oh, Terrence Ross. Major rack attack.
And by the way, that was the Ray Allen major three from the Heat Spurs right. Finals game.
Can I ask this dumb question here? All right. Why would you have that instead of Ian calling net games?
You want the answer? I have an answer.
Give me the answer.
Because I went on YouTube and I couldn't find them. All it was clips of Ian doing Ray Allen hitting threes, attacks from Kobe Bryant.
Wow.
I don't know what the hell's going on YouTube.
But that
drove me nuts.
That is crazy.
That's on me, though.
That's on you.
Yeah, that's on me.
No, that was wonderful. Thank you to Dove for going right. The extra mile. I was the Iron Sheik during a brief period of my wrestling fandom. It was really down to Iron Sheik or Tony Garea. Those were the two that I narrowed it
down. Tony Garea. Wow. That's interesting. But by the way, can I say this? Can I praise you again? We praise you all the time. But I right now, to me, there is no better basketball combination than Ian Eagle and Richard Jefferson. I mean, you guys are, it's unbelievable. I mean, and the stuff Richard comes out with stuff that's just, it's fabulous.
Well,
I mean, and you're the perfect guy to set him up. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Richard made $100 million as a player. He has no fear whatsoever.
Yeah, right.
On air.
Right, why should he?
What's
the
worst that can happen?
Right,
for
that's
RJ?
Right. That's
they
true.
They say, okay, you can't do this anymore. So
right.
He operates with this sense of no safety net whatsoever.
Yes.
And it has been very refreshing. He's really talented. He is going to be really big.
Yeah, he's great.
And that scares me. That scares me that he's going to leave. That he is going to only be with us for a short period of time.
That's a that's a small window into your soul right there.
It is.
Right
it?
There. That just that one answer in and of itself says so much about you. Why? Don't be scared that he's going to leave. Be excited that he wants to be a part of it.
Here's where I've been wrong about this. For the last decade, I've been waiting for you to basically leave, thinking you're going to break my – and I'm not saying that in I want way. I don't want you to leave. I like Rucco. He does a fine job, but you're a big part of this broadcast. But because you are such a big star, I've been waiting for that day where you're going to come on, because you'd obviously save it for our show, that big announcement. I expect that. And you'd say, guys, I got to tell you something. I'm leaving the Nets. And I've been fearing that for a decade.
Here's one thing you're not going to have to worry about, though. You don't have to worry that he's going to leave, like, doing NFL games on CBS. Maybe he'd go to, like, Fox or something. I guess that could happen. But, I mean, and let's be honest. I mean, when Ian does a Jet game, and I've said this, even though he did that terrible game against Buffalo, it's still, I'll never forget it. He did do the Patriot game the week before that as well. But when he does a Jet game, it's just like there's a sense of comfort to me, Ian. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've never had more speculation about my life in a 45-second period. Like, now you have me questioning exactly what I'm going to do myself. I have no idea what's going to happen. Now, Rucco is fantastic, by the way. Ryan did a tremendous job on the West Coast trip. He's done a great job over the last number of years in the Nets role. He's great on ESPN. He's great on Yankees coverage. He's just an excellent broadcaster. He's a terrific guy. Here's the key right now. The fact that this team, Evan, has given you something to talk about.
Don't do this.
On April the 5th.
Don't do this.
Think about that.
Don't do this. Don't do this because I'm going
to
tell you.
No.
I'm going to tell you something right now, okay? This is the way life works. What you expect 8 months ago is irrelevant when you're in the moment. This team has to make the playoffs. I get it. The schedule's brutal. I understand the Bucks are the best team in the East, maybe the best team in the NBA. I get it. I know they got to go to Milwaukee tomorrow, and they've wrapped up the one seed. Hopefully that means no one plays. I get all of that, Ian. And you're right. If you told me in October the Nets would be in this spot, I'd be partying. Well, guess what, Ian? It's not freaking October. It's April. And I want you to repeat after me because it's true. If the Nets don't make the playoffs, it's a disaster.
I'm not going to repeat after you.
Come on.
That's not going to happen. I'm not going to just mirror your words.
Okay.
What I will say is that last night watching that Milwaukee-Philadelphia game and watching the Bucks pull away from a talented 76ers team in Philly is another indicator of just how great this Milwaukee team is.
People
maybe have fallen asleep on them a little bit. Now, what that has to do with tomorrow night, whether or not Mike Budenholzer is going to pull back his starters, to me it's irrelevant. Their second unit is excellent as well. So this idea that, you just snap your fingers, you get a win, you guarantee a playoff spot, you still have to go in there and earn it. Indiana, same situation on Sunday. The Pacers, you've got this little battle going on between 4 and 5. Who's going to have home court advantage? And by the way, Philly has now fallen back enough that they may drop out. I don't think they will, but they may drop out of the 3 spot. So there's still a lot of movement right now in the Eastern Conference, and the idea that the Bucks are just going to pack it in, that's not going
to
happen.
I want you to be honest with me, and I can deal with reality, because you just laid it out. At Milwaukee, at Indiana on a back-to-back, the Pacers are still playing for something. Miami in what could be a huge game Wednesday night for a playoff spot. Is this team going to make the playoffs, Ian?
Yeah, my sense is they will. Yeah, I'm looking at the numbers. I'm looking at the schedule. I'm looking at the other teams. Yes,
all right.
I believe they're going to make the playoffs. I think it may come down to that Miami game, but I think they're going to make.
Oh God, I'm going to be hiding under my
You're going to be
seat.
A mess. You're
gonna
a wreck
be a
right
mess.
Now.
No, because Joe knows this. Yes, it's been a fun season. They can't miss the playoffs. They've been in a 6, 7, or 8 spot for 2 months, and to have it disappear in the final few days of the year, as much progress that has been shown this year. It would be a really difficult pill to swallow.
Well, this should be no surprise to you based on the schedule and the fact that they had to create a little bit of a cushion the way the schedule was set up. The West Coast trip, based on the building being occupied, Atlantic 10 tournament concerts, what have you, and then back end it with games against quality team after quality team. Look, you're going to look back on that Portland game, which should have been a W, should have been a win. And if this team falls short by a game, that's going to be the one that you focus in on. But mind you, you could look at the Sacramento game that easily could have gone the other way the remarkable comeback that they made. Here's the thing. I understand your absolute and your mentality. To me, it's not as cut and dry as that. It's not a disaster if they don't make the playoffs. All the progress is still there. It just would be a matter of one game not going their way and not qualifying for an 8 seed to play a 1 seed in Milwaukee that's a juggernaut right now.
No, they'll get killed
by Milwaukee.
I can't
say that everything goes away based on that.
Well, you know what really surprised me, and I think this is the thing that I've gotten wrong about this. It's not that the Nets are 39-40 because we knew the schedule. I'm surprised that it's going to take 40-41 wins to get in. I didn't think the Magic would play as well as they've played. They've won 8
Agreed.
Out of 10. And so, to me, the surprise is the bar has been raised. I remember Joe and I talking in January, and I think I said to him, 37 wins will get him into the playoffs, 38 wins.
Not really.
It's not true. They're at 39 already, and they've got 3 games to go, and they're not guaranteed a spot. So I think that's the thing that's most surprising, that the bar has been raised over the last few weeks on what it's going to take to make the postseason.
Yeah, it's a reminder also that Steve Clifford is a really good coach.
Yes.
And he's done an outstanding job with that team. Charlotte's now out of it. They try to make a little bit of a run. It's three spots, four teams. Blake Griffin hasn't been playing for Detroit. So I guarantee you they're saying the same things in that town right now,
yeah,
because it looked like they were guaranteed a spot. So this is still very much fluid based on how the other teams perform. And the Nets, if they take care of their own business, they're in.
Yeah. Now, you were at, I'm told you were at the Jet uniform unveiling last night. Is that true?
Wow. You are told correctly. Yes.
Wow. Now, can I ask why you were there? I mean,
I was there to see J.B. Smoove.
No, seriously.
Huge fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
He is great on Curb.
Is that why you were there?
He is great on Curb.
Yes.
No, I was invited, and I went by to see what it was all about.
I see.
Did you, because we opened with it, and my thought had nothing to do with the jerseys. It had to do with the emphasis of New York, and I think you could relate to this as a Brooklyn Net announcer. Clearly,
yep,
there has been a major emphasis on saying Brooklyn. Everybody says Brooklyn every 5 seconds, and it doesn't annoy me that much because the Nets actually play in Brooklyn. So I get it. They're the Nets, but they play in Brooklyn. I got a very Brooklyn Nets sense from that event last night. Everything was about New York. The New York skyline, songs about New York, mentioning New York. J.B. Smoove's a New Yorker now after he grew up for 4 years in North Carolina, learned his life,
yep,
story. Did you get that sense that it was almost overboard with how much they were pushing New York?
Yeah, I certainly didn't know that going in, but clearly that was part of the messaging, and the team is trying to start this new era with a new look, with a new coach, with a new philosophy, with everything feeling new, including the other word in that sentence, York. That's definitely part of their push right now. Here's the reality of all of this, and we know this all too well. Joe, you've lived it your entire life. Evan, the teams that you've rooted for throughout your existence, it's the same deal. If you win, all of this means very little. If you win, everything seems to come along with it. Respect, validation, but that's the key. For the Nets right now, as an example, the Brooklyn Nets, the rebrand, look, they tried. They tried to go get big names. They attempted to do it in a very flashy way. Their owner came out very publicly to say, this is going to be different. This is going to change. And it didn't work. Now they've actually garnered more respect by doing it in a very shrewd way, an under the radar way. And people around the league have given the Nets more respect in this current incarnation than I can remember in all their years, including the years they went to back-to-back finals. That's how strange this phenomenon can be. If you win the right way, people will follow. It's a pretty simple deal.
Mm. How again, we're talking to the great Iron Eagle. How bad, at this point now, and I know Evan's talked about it, the Nets have to make the playoffs. I mean, let's be real. I mean, if they don't make the playoffs now, I mean, it becomes a major disappointment here.
I think they know that. There's no doubt that they've been balancing between the pressure of living up to this now, because a lot of people have given them a great deal of credit for what they've done without the actual results, the playoff spot. Everybody that I've talked to over the last month doing these radio interviews across the country, the lead-in is often, oh, the Brooklyn Nets, they'll be going to the playoffs this year. It almost became a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, bothered
the way
me.
Things
bothered
were set
me
up in
that.
The Eastern Conference. I know it bothered you,
yeah,
but people just started jumping in that direction.
Right, right, right.
If you don't get it done, obviously you're going to strip it down game by game and try to figure out what went wrong. The bigger picture, it's not going to change how they go about their business. I don't think they're going to get one less free agent meeting based on that. But I do think it would be really good for these players and a really nice reward for the fans to feel like you're part of it, to have this transformation over a three-year period, go from 20 wins to 28 wins to 40 or 41 wins. To me, that's a big jump, and it's a big change in the way you're seen, the way you're perceived. Their whole persona is so different than it was 1 year ago at this time, but I can't disagree with you. I think the playoffs kind of roll into that equation, and you need that as part of the resume in order for people to believe.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, because this is a question I'm going to ask, and this actually, and when we have Ian on the phone, I'm actually asking you this question, and Evan, I'm asking you this question. So I want to see what Ian says about this too. Would you rather make the playoffs and get knocked out, you know, in the first round, let's say losing five games to Milwaukee or Toronto in the first round, whatever,
mm-hmm.
or win the lottery and get Zion Williamson?
I mean...
I'm serious. I mean, I think that's a fair – Ian, is that a fair question?
It is a fair question, but it's circumstantial because you have to live through what you've lived through now, the past season and beyond, to get to this point.
Well, here's the thing, and I slightly disagree with something you said, even though it's based on nothing but my heart, I guess. I do think making the playoffs helps with free agents, and I'll give you a specific dream example. It's been my fantasy, all right? Sports fantasy. The Nets play Toronto. They take them to a seventh game. I go back up to Toronto. I get another parking ticket. This time they don't win. No, they don't win this time.
I still have not paid that ticket. They're not listening to us up in Toronto.
No. But I would.
Ontario.
Actually, you'll be arrested at the border.
But I would go back, and this time they lose. You don't think that a seven-game series against the Toronto Raptors maybe gets a meeting with Kawhi Leonard? Maybe he says,
yeah, but you've jumped now. You've jumped very far ahead.
What have I jumped?
That is a big jump.
What have I done?
That's a big jump. That's a big jump from going making the playoffs to now playing in a seventh game and convincing everybody around the league that you're for real, that you're here to stay.
Yeah, but I am the only way to get a convincing series or a seven-game series is to be in a series. If
no, you got to be in it. I get that part of it. But you've watched Milwaukee this year, correct?
I didn't say Milwaukee. I didn't say
that. I know. I noticed that.
No, I agree. And that's without Malcolm Brogdon and even Mirotić, who I thought would have been great for the Nets. I'm talking about Toronto, maybe even Philadelphia. I'm not talking about Milwaukee. If they're the eighth seed, I'll be happy they made the playoffs. They're going to get annihilated. I accept that. While they'll lose to Toronto, I think they could win a couple of games. Am I crazy to say that?
Back to your question, Joe.
Yes.
I'm, again, looking at it through the prism of the Nets franchise and the Knicks franchise, the Nets franchise needed this. They needed to show improvement. They needed to show that there was growth and that they are taking the next step as an organization. The Knicks, on the flip side, they need an injection. And yes, to answer your question, if I were a Knicks fan and you're telling me, oh, you could have had the eighth spot and you get beat in the first round this year, or you have a legitimate chance at Zion Williamson, I would take the latter. On the Nets side, I don't know if they could have withstood another year
of
being that bad and viewed in that way around the league. They needed to show legitimate progress.
Right, right.
Why do you think, and I think there's a lot of answers to this, but I'm curious what you say. They started 8-18. They went on an incredible run. I think overall you could take apart any run you want, but they won 19 out of 24. Just an incredible run. They got to four games above 500 at one point. They were 27-23. They were not healthy when that was happening. They are now, minus Allen Crabbe, who doesn't exist in my book, they are healthy. Caris LeVert is working his way back. Spencer Dinwiddie is back. Why do you think we haven't seen them play their best basketball as a fully healthy team over the last month or so?
Yeah, I think what we've seen in stretches from this team, when they were shorthanded, no LeVert and Dinwiddie truly emerged, and Russell took over. And then with LeVert coming back and now looking like himself again, it's still a work in progress. Rotation-wise, who works with whom, figuring out exactly which combinations click. Kurucs, who's a player, he can galvanize you in one game. And then another game, he's got a bad defensive matchup, or he turns the ball over three times early, or he's played more basketball this year than he's played in his last 4 years combined, and you can see it physically with him. That, to me, has been part of the up-and-down nature of this team. They just play a bunch of close games. They don't really blow anybody out. And to me, that's an indicator of their margin of error is very slim. If they play at their best, they can play with anybody. But there have been stretches this year where they've laid an egg. And that means that you're still trying to tinker with this roster. There's a reason why they need a legitimate power forward and a rebounder.
Yes.
It's missing. It's a void on this team. You know, the big man, Jared Allen, he's come so far so quickly. But he's not an all-star player yet. He's not at that level. Offensively, you can't rely on him, dump it down to the post, and just make him go to work. He just doesn't have that in him yet. So there's still a lot of youth and a lot more, to me, of tinkering with this roster when they get a chance to maybe get up to the plate and talk to a Kawhi Leonard or talk to another unrestricted free agent that could really fit in their system.
Before I let you go, you did the tournament. Great job, by the way, with you and Spinnakel on the Kentucky game. You know, I'm glad to see you got one of the big regional finals.
And by the way, congratulations on getting nominated yet again
for
another Emmy.
Oh, my God.
Another sports Emmy.
Yeah. Boy, you just might be lining them up.
It's
monster, it's unbelievable.
This guy. Love him.
I mean, really, it's just it's absurd.
Best in the business.
It's absurd how great you have become, by the way. But with that said, seriously, now you watched, obviously Kentucky, you saw that, all that. What's your take on the Final Four now?
I've had three of the teams this year, and I had Texas Tech last year in the NCAA tournament, so I have a pretty good feel.
Right,
Auburn,
right,
they just play so ridiculously hard for Bruce Pearl. He has a lot of different permutations that he goes with. If it's not working, he sends in three new players. He has done an excellent job with his team. He has them believing, even without their best player. Chuma Okeke is their best player. You're going to hear his name in the NBA one day. And they don't have his services based on the ACL injury.
Right.
Virginia is so well coached, so well schooled. I have nothing but respect for what they've done a year later after the shocking upset, the first number one seed to go down, to get to this point, to do it in dramatic fashion against Purdue. That play had to happen exactly as it did for them to advance. If anything goes awry on that one play, Clark's pass to Diakite, it's done. If he brings the ball down for a moment after the catch, it's done. He did everything correctly. They go to overtime. They get the win. I really like Virginia. I think there would be some poetic justice if he can take them to a national championship game. The other one, Tom Izzo, this is not his best Michigan State team by any stretch, but Cassius Winston is dynamic. And he's very trustworthy, and you put the ball in his hands late, and he usually makes good things happen. Texas Tech, I don't know if people are completely familiar with them. I got to tell you, this kid, Jarrett Culver, is the real deal, and another guy you're going to see in the NBA. Chris Beard is now one of those coaches that's going to pop up for every big job because of the way he does his job. There's a really nice blend of being tough on his guys, but also having that other side and making it a family. I think Michigan State will get it done there. My sense would be Michigan State, Virginia, and to me that would be a terrific national championship game. But any combination will be good. These four teams are interesting, and there are a lot of good storylines attached to it.
Ian, it's always a pleasure.
Are you officially on board for the last three games? You're going to be on the board for three games?
I am officially on board. Yes, thank you, Evan, for asking.
And
officially on board. Yes, flying to Milwaukee, then to Indiana, then back home for Dwayne Wade's final regular season game, and maybe his final game ever.
And would they? And if they do make the playoffs, the first round would be on yes, or it goes
correct.
It is right. Just the first round.
First round on yes, and I would probably then sprinkle in some TNT, NBA TV, and then hopefully jump on board second round with TNT.
All right, and before I let you go, I'm hoping this year that you get at least six or seven Jet games. No, I mean it. I'm serious. I'm hoping for like six or seven Jet games with you and Dan Fouts.
I would say, you know, I'm not a huge over-under guy.
Hmm?
That would sound over.
That would be over.
Okay. Yes.
Well, I mean, if they're good, you never know. Maybe if they're actually, dare I say, could win 10 or 11 games.
They're going to be good. They're going to be better.
They can't be worse.
They can't be worse. No,
right.
They're going to be better.
Yes.
That's another conversation for another time.
Well, we'll talk about that as you know.
I'm high on Adam Gase. I was high on that.
Yeah. Are you really high on Adam
Gase? I doubled down on that.
Doubling. Yeah. I hope you're right.
He was selling Adam Gase to us a couple months ago.
I'll say it as I've said a million, from your lips to God's ears on Adam Gase.
Yeah. Seriously.
You know?
All right, guys. Don't screw it up. If they lose these last three, I'm partially blaming you.
Thank you. And don't keep tabs on my record. I'm undefeated. I have zero wins. I have zero losses.
Hey, my best to Richard Jefferson, too. Right?
I will pass that along.
Please.
Joe, to RJ.
There you go. All right.
You guys would hit it off. See ya.
I see ya.
The great Iron Eagle.
I kind of think I would, actually.
Oh, no question. But he's so right about RJ. It's like anybody in life. When you've got a lot of money and nothing to lose. You can say whatever the hell you want.
That's it. Amen. That's for sure.
Next Nets game tomorrow, 5 o'clock tip in Milwaukee.
Maybe you want to catch that last show I do. You know?
That's a great point. It's a good nothing to lose, baby.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.